Amen.
We certainly, certainly praise God again for you all being here. And let's go straight to the throne of grace before we get started, and the Lord can direct everything, all words, all intents of the heart and mind. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we bless you. We thank you and we praise you, O God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your people. Lord God, loved before time, precious, elect indeed. We thank you, Lord God, for a portion of them present today. Every friend, every visitor, Lord God, for those for whom you died, Lord God, we thank you. For those, Lord, for whom we went in vacation, Lord, we pray blessing upon them and for all the people of God, wherever they are, continent to continent, country to country, region to region, Lord, we pray blessing abundantly upon them. Teach us, O Lord, this day. Cause us to fellowship in your word by your blessed spirit, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Say grace and peace to the household of faith. Ella Liverman, I guess, would be our designated reader today, since we have none other. Ella, we're going to ask you to, as he already has, don the microphone. I'm going to ask you, well, first of all, let me say, if you don't have a Bible, you certainly will need one. We want to follow along in the Word of God. And we say thank the Lord for some whom I've had opportunity to have fellowship in Bible study. Amen. We praise God for them being out today. Hallelujah. And for all God's precious, precious people. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and for a context, we're going to have to take verses 1 through 15, albeit I know, according to time, I will not get all the way to verse 15, but that's all right. I've got to start at the beginning of the context. You know what we always say, don't take what I say out of context. Please don't. So we can't run in, jump in, pick out one or two verses, run with it, and say that that's what the Lord is teaching. We've got to go with the threefold manner of Bible scrutiny: contextual, grammatical, and historical. Context, we go up a little if we have to, down a little more if need be, so as to keep what God's word is saying in context. And don't pick out one verse and try to say this is what the Bible teach. Many astray doctrines have been formulated like that. Then grammatical. We have to look at the grammar. The Bible was not written, what we call the New Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. But what we call the New Testament, in which also is the Kingdom Gospel, in the Gospels, and the Grace Gospel, which was delivered to the Apostle Paul to preach to the churches the body of Christ. And it was written in Greek. And so, yes, we have to go to the Greek language, at least in exegesis. Exegesis is just literary interpretation. scriptural exegesis, a scriptural interpretation. We have to interpret or literally, quite literally, see what the Word of God is teaching before we can convey its truth unto God's precious people. No, you don't have to exegete for salvation, for that was done, as we shall prove, by God's Word through exegesis, but that was done before the creation of time, eternally. And historically. Historically, we have to look at who's talking, who's being talked to, and when was the Word of God spoken, and to whom, certainly to whom, it was being spoken unto. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 15, but I am going to ask Elder Liverman if he would read for us from the King James Version and then from the interlineal Greek text, verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, first from the King James Version and then from the interlineal Greek text. Now, if you don't have a Greek interlineal, don't worry about it. We're going to exegete. We're going to explain. And you can follow along in your King James or New International, whatever version you might have. And we will, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, explain through exegesis. The word exegesis, look at the prefix. The prefix ex, and in the Greek, is ek. It means out or out of. To exhale means to breathe out. To exhume means to recover out of, that is, the ground. To exit means to go out. Extreme means way out. We are going to exegete, we're going to dig out the literal meaning of God's Word through exegesis and interpretation. Interpretation means to say the same thing in another language. If you have a diplomat in a foreign country, such as our Secretary of State in the Haiti incident and catastrophe, and she was bringing greeting and word and information and help for the Haitian nation and its people, she was bringing a message from the president representing him, president of the United States. And as you know, most in Haiti, the national language is French. So as she was speaking in English, delivering the message, as a representative of the President of the United States and the American people, she had an interpreter right over her shoulder. Right. Amen. And whatever she said in English, the interpreter had to say the exact thing in French.
Right.
Praise God. That is literal interpretation. Elder, why don't you read for us Romans 10, verse 8 and 9, first from the King James Version, and then we're going to read it from the interlineal Greek text. Just those two verses, Ella.
Romans chapter 10, beginning with the 8th verse.
Mm-hmm.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee,
mm-hmm.
even in thy mouth,
mm-hmm.
and in thy heart.
Yes.
That is the word of faith
which we preach.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead,
mm-hmm.
thou shalt be saved.
Thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. All right, now from the interlineal Greek text. Now that definitely needs exegesis. Let's see how it reads in the interlineal Greek text.
Romans chapter 10.
More light.
Amen. Romans chapter 10, beginning with the 8th verse in the interlinear Greek. But what says it?
Yes.
Near thee, the word is.
Yes.
In the mouth of thee and in the heart of thee, this is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if thou confessest with the mouth of thee, Lord Jesus, and believest in the heart of thee that God him raised from the dead, thou wilt be saved.
And yes, that need exegesis also. I want to put this thought, these words into your psyche as a subject matter. Salvation actualized, I know it didn't come out in the reading of those two verses, but through exegesis it will. Salvation actualized in eternity by God's decree, manifested, that is, shown, revealed in time. Or this, the faithfulness of Christ. The faithfulness of Christ. Now, I can tell you right now, through exegesis, we've gleaned from verse 8 the word faithfulness. I know King James and even the interlineal had faith, but they. Faith and faithfulness are both nouns. So, we have to dig in and literally, through exegesis, find out when it says faith, does it mean faith of God's people? Or is it the faithfulness of Christ? Praise God. Now let me deliver something to you here. One thing I can tell our audience on the website, and those that listen to our messages that are uploaded every day by our Deacon Victor, the only way that one can receive this message of grace and in the mystery which was revealed to the Apostle Paul by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, is that the Lord give it to you by revelation. If he does not, I'm under no illusions, if he does not, then one will continue on in the traditional thinking of the King James and other translations of the Bible. It can only be understood through exegesis. In other words, God have to give it to you in revelation. Otherwise, you'll go on as usual. Go on as the status quo is. Salvation actualized, and let me give some definitions here so we can be on the same page. I'm going to carry you along with me. And I pray, God, that I don't try to run or do run inadvertently ahead of you. Actual, when you hear somebody say the word actual, you're looking for the real deal. You're not looking for no junk and jive. You're looking for the real deal. Actual, an adjective. Actualize, a verb. Actualization, a noun. It means to bring in or cause a thing to exist. It exists as a fact. It is real. It is not a figment of one's imagination. And it's not bygone, or a thing that was here for a while and now it's gone. You know, like fads we have, dress codes we have. Those of you that are baby boomers, you know how we dress in the 70s. We'd be ashamed to walk like that now down the street. Praise God. That's what actualize means. And let me clear your thinking also while I'm at it about eternity. Eternity is not time by any stretch of the imagination. When you mention, or the scriptures mention, eternal or eternity, you can throw, toss time clean out the window. Time, I don't care how many zeros you put behind a nine. In the million, billion, quadrillion, zillion, and multiply all of them that the alphabet gives. In years or in ages, time has no place, no entrance in eternity. All right, eternity or eternal is without beginning. It's without end. It's everlasting and it's timeless. No time in eternity. So forget time when you're talking eternity. It is, and this should give us confidence and security and hope and joy. Eternity is forever the same. In time, you have changed all the time. You got changed. Change from 1 year to the next. Change from one grade to the next. Change from one outfit to the next. Change from one state of physical ability to the next. Change. Eternity is without change. There is no sequencing in eternity. Eternity is no sequencing. This, then that, and then something else. No sequencing. That's why the scriptures say that a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. No sequencing in eternity, forever the same. Now I said salvation was actualized in eternity by God's decree. Here's what a decree is. Nobody in Washington, D.C., including Big O, can make a decree. Nebuchadnezzar tried it. He tried it with the Hebrew boys. Anybody that don't bow down before this image shall be thrown into a furnace of fire. But he forgot the great one, God Almighty. He cast them in the fire, all right, but God took the hurt out of the fire. And he brought him up out the fire and say, your God is truly God. For he have changed the king's word. And there's no hurt on you. Mankind cannot make a decree. A decree is to order by authority. To order or speak a command or thing into existence. Or make it a reality. That's what a decree is. So salvation, I'm telling you, the salvation was actualized, made real, brought into existence in eternity, the stable environment of eternity before time ever existed or was created, better, by God's decree, by God speaking his word. God's word is his decree and his will. Then salvation was manifested. It was revealed in time. It showed up in time. For me, it was manifested, not actualized, not made real, not brought into existence, but it was manifested in the mid-70s. It wasn't manifested before that. I'm not going to tell you what was manifested then. But my salvation was manifested in the mid-70s. which was a time. It happened in the created entity of time.
Yes.
And it was all attributed to the faithfulness of Christ. Here are some things I want to carry with you in the message also. Also, I know I always put my big foot in my mouth, and I'm going to do no less right now. I always go out on the limb and make some high-sounding, great claims, but then I'm going to back them up by Scripture, properly exegeted and rightly divided. Listen, this is from scriptural exegesis. No one, I said, you, except the Lord give, reveal it to you, just like the mystery was revealed to the Apostle Paul for the church, the body of Christ. It went against all his tradition as a Jew and a Pharisee. Went against all of it. Except the Lord reveal it to you, you probably won't receive this today. No one is being saved today. Oh, yeah. As is commonly believed and taught. No one is being saved in the unstable, temporary environment of time.
Yes.
Salvation was actualized in eternity. The preaching of the gospel is not what saved you. Rather, it is by God's means, the gospel is God's means of identifying, yeah, you and you and you and you in manifestation, of identifying those saved. Those that are saved. That's what the gospel does. It calls you out. Anybody ever been called out? I've been called out. It's like, Gavin, you ain't no good. I said, you ain't either. The gospel is not what saved you. Rather, it is God. What the gospel is God's means of identifying those that are saved. You were elected, chosen in Christ, in eternity, by God's decree, or by saying of God, or God speaking it.
Amen.
And it became a reality. Everyone so chosen. Number three. Everyone so chosen, or elected, or saved in eternity, are not necessarily manifested or shown or revealed as saved in the created temporary entity of time. Time is a creation. God is eternal. You all remember what God said to Moses at the burning bush? When Moses asked God, say, who shall I say that sent me? You want me to tell Pharaoh all these things you gave me? Who shall I say that sent me? I mean, that's Pharaoh. The Lord said unto Moses, tell Pharaoh I am. Not will be, not especially not want to be, but I am. Claiming absolute existence. Now you and I have to say, well, I was born a certain time. I will die a certain time. I will be there directly as soon as I get back from over here. But the Lord claimed absolute existence when he said, I am. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the expression of God in the flesh, did the same thing. When he told those Jews, the high echelon of the religious elite that didn't like him, he told them, say, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He said, man, they said unto him, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? the Lord said without a break, before Abraham was, I am, claiming absolute existence, which he was God manifested in the flesh. Salvation. No, let me say something else there. If God has chosen one in eternity, it may or may not manifest in time. They may leave out through abortion. They may leave out through miscarriage.
Amen.
They may not have heard the gospel. Do you know that one time in the Soviet Union, may still be some, that Christian religion was banned, and if they wanted to worship, they had to do it at the detriment of their lives or incarceration? These things do not limit or hinder God. Where you are, how much you know, what you're going to do, those don't limit God. He is almighty. He is. Salvation? Now this one got a lot of meat to it. You got a minute? This got a lot of scriptural meat to it. Salvation is not by us. Salvation is not according to us. Salvation is not by what we say. It's not by what we do, or is not by, and is not by what we perform, but rather by the eternal actualization of God's decree based upon the eternal faithfulness and merit, that is work and doing, which was manifested on Calvary. But the Lamb was slain in eternity before the foundation of the world. Is based upon the eternal faithfulness, not ours, not ours. We're going to show you the work and doing of our only Lord and our only Savior, Jesus Christ. While only manifesting in time, showing, revealing in time, according as God has willed and purposed it.
Amen.
For his eternal glory. All of God's elect are not going to be manifested in time and come in and hear a message and clap their hands and pat their feet and praise God. All of God's elect are not going to do that. Some are not going to even hear Christ, so they won't be able to make a choice for him. Some are not going to even breathe one breath of earthly atmospheric air. They may be aborted, die stillborn, or whatever. Now, big mouth, let's back it up. Look with me to Romans 10 and 1. Elder, read that from the verse 1 from the interlinear Greek text. Follow along in your whatever version you have. Yes.
Romans chapter 10
and verse 1.
And verse 1,
mm-hmm,
in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1.
Amen. I might curtail having a reader. That's just our manner. That's just our tradition. Nothing sacred about it. That's just the way we do it. But I might have to curtail it for time's sake. But Ella, since I asked you to go there and bothered you to go there, read verse 1.
In interlinear?
Yes, go ahead.
Brothers,
mm-hmm,
the good pleasure of my heart,
mm-hmm,
and the request to God,
yes,
on behalf of them.
On behalf of them.
It's for salvation.
It's for salvation. Brothers, Paul is in the vocative case. The vocative case is the case of direct address in the Greek language. Remember, what we call the New Testament, in which is the grace testament and the kingdom gospel.
It was written in Greek.
Brothers of me, fellow believers,
he talking to fellow believers, members of the body of Christ.
The on the one hand, it's going to read a little funny because what you have in translating or bringing into English. On the one hand, goodwill, desire, or pleasure. The of me heart. On the one hand, good desire of the heart of me. And the petition or request that I make in prayer to God in behalf of or for the sake of them. Paul is speaking, that would be the first person singular. He's speaking to brethren or believers of like precious faith, that would be the second person plural. But here, them, we have the third person plural. So he's talking about those of Israel according to the flesh.
Yeah.
For salvation. Oh, you got exegete to understand the scriptures. You got to know who's talking, what's being talked about, when the action occurred. My prayer for them is for salvation. Israel's salvation is not manifested. God deals with Israel as a nation. And as now, even now to this day, for nearly 2,000 years, they are as a nation estranged from God, for they do not or have not been given to believe on God's righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get ahead of myself if I keep talking. All right. Verse 2. Okay, go ahead, Ella. You there.
I bear witness. For to them that a zeal of God they have.
Again, for to them, third person plural. If it were talking about Christ, it's the expression of God, if it were talking about the Holy Spirit, or if it were talking about God and his eternal essence, it would be the third person singular. Any expression of God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, or God in his eternal existence, it would be third person singular. Here we have third person plural. I bear witness for them, Israel.
Uh-huh. But not according to knowledge.
I missed this one. That zeal of God they have. Third person plural. Them. Zeal of God they have. Zeal is jealous. Jealous is watch being watchful in keeping or guarding something. Being careful with it. You remember the Lord Jesus even in the Gospels. He commended the Jews. You keep the law, you tithe in the law, and you observe all the observances of the law, but you have neglected to do the weightier matters of the law, Christ told them.
Uh-huh.
Judgment and mercy.
Uh-huh.
They were jealous. This is our law that God gave to us through Moses. They were watchful and careful in keeping it. The law of God. But not according to what, Elder?
But not according to knowledge.
But not according to knowledge. And that word knowledge is also recognition. You knowing the truth when you hear it. You knowing a phony when you see him. You knowing a crook when you come upon him. How do you know he's a crook? He tried to go in my pocket. They had the zeal. We got to do this. We got to observe that. We got to observe that. But not according to knowledge. In one place, in the mystery of the grace gospel, in one epistle that Paul wrote to the grace church, he said, I bear them record that they have. That was another place, but the law
was a child or schoolmaster to bring them unto God. A schoolmaster is also a child leader. That's what the law was. It was a child leader to bring them to God. Otherwise, they would be working and trying, and if they performed something, they would end up being arrogant and proud. You know what doing and achieving something causes in us. You know what it does. It causes to push our chest out. You ain't got it like I got it. Look what I did. We might not even say it, but we carry it around with us. That look. Look at me. So not according to recognition, the law was a child leader to lead them to God through God's righteousness. Look at all the sacrifices. Sacrifices were types. Types of who? Christ. Yeah, I am getting ahead of myself again. Verse 3. Go ahead, Ella.
Verse 3. For not knowing,
for being ignorant,
the law of righteousness,
or not knowing. We got a certain connotation of the meaning connotation to you ignorance. You ignorant. But it simply means not knowing. For being ignorant of the of God righteousness. Being ignorant of the of God righteousness or the righteousness of God. Did what, Ella?
Of God.
Mm-hmm.
They did not submit.
Of the righteousness of God, they did not submit. And what?
For in. Verse 4.
Alright, let's finish verse 3. And their own righteousness they were seeking and striving to establish. Now this word establish. They were seeking and striving to establish their own righteousness. It is in the Greek what we call the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a completed action. Done.
Amen.
Well, when was it done? It was always done. In the stable, no time in it, unchanging environment, stable environment of eternity.
Amen.
It was done when Adam showed up in the garden. It was done when Noah began to build the ark. It was done when you and I were manifested in flesh. It was always done. This was God's doing. They're going about to seek their own or establish their own righteousness. It means that that was in the decree of God that they would do that. You being saved and loving the Lord, same thing. It was in God's decree that you would do it. So we have nothing to boast about, nothing to look down on anyone about. It's all God's doing. It's in the aorist tense. God determined and decreed in eternity that they would go about to establish their own righteousness. They couldn't do anything else but that. And the of God righteousness, they were not put in subjection or having submitted to it. Again, this is talking about the third person plural, which Paul is talking about his countrymen according to the flesh. They were not put in subjection to the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That's why when Pontius Pilate brought Jesus out, amen, and asked, say, what shall I do then with Jesus, your king? And first of all, they say, we don't have no king but Caesar. What shall I do with Jesus? Crucify. We will not have that man to rule over us. Now remember now, Paul himself was a Jew by earthly assignment according to the flesh.
Amen.
But in actualization, in God's eternal decree, he was a member of the body of Christ like you and I. That had to be revealed. That had to be seen or brought out or shown to him. So they were not put in subjection. Verse 4, Elder. Verse 4. Here's some light. More light.
For in of law,
what?
Christ is for righteousness.
Christ is of Christ to righteousness. For in of law, Christ is.
Uh-huh.
To righteousness.
To everyone believing.
Not to them that believe. You've heard it preached like that. Not to them that believe. But everyone, each and every rather, the believing. The absence of the definite article, the, it means to each and every one of a kind and those that believe. They did not, could not of themselves believe. For Christ is the end of the law. Now what do you mean the end of the law, D? End means that he was the aim. End means that he was the goal of the law. God didn't give Israel the law thinking, hoping, wishing that they would keep it. God knew that they weren't going to keep it. It's right here. Having established their own righteousness, aorist tense, God decreed that from eternity what they were going to do. Same thing with you and I. It's decreed. If we are in Christ, we are in Christ by decree, not by what you do or what you say. Christ is the end of the law. What do you think all the animal sacrifices were for? They were types pointing to Christ. They were because of sin and pointing to him that would take away sin. You remember in the garden, Adam and Eve. You'll find this in Genesis, I believe, the second or third chapter. Adam and Eve in the garden, after they had eaten of the tree that the Lord told them not to eat of. And then the Lord asked Adam, said, what have you done? And God knew what he had done. And then they went to blaming each other. They went to the blame game. Well, she made me do this. He made me do this. Praise God. You know how we do. And then, after the Lord pronounced sentence upon them, he also pronounced blessing. He said, the seed of the woman, a type of Christ, signifying Christ, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, even as the serpent bruises his heel. Always, from the beginning of mankind's existence in the flesh, always pointing to Christ. Christ is the righteous one. Christ is the faithful, or is his faithfulness. Always, even in the law. For the end of the law, the goal, the limit, the aim of the law was always Christ. That is why they had the animal sacrifices. They were types of Christ. That's why they painted the blood over the lintel and the doorpost. When the death angel was coming through Egypt, typifying Christ. All right, to each and every believing. Verse 5, Ella.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
For Moses writes.
Now listen.
The righteousness of the law.
Paul is talking, but he's alluding to what Moses wrote. The righteousness out from the law.
The doing man. Will live by it.
Now let me exegete here. The righteousness of the law. The man doing those things. The man trying to be righteous on what he do. Or what he does. What did I tell you earlier? You're not saved by what you say. You're not saved by what you do. You're not saved according to what you perform. You're not saved according to what you enact. The righteous man out of the law is caused to do. Here we have another aorist tense. What he does, he is caused to do. He will live in it, in the doing. In the doing. Our righteousness is by the faithfulness of Christ. This is what we call he will live in or by the doing of it. This is what we call in the Greek grammar an indicative future. I'm going to tell you what the indicative future is. The indicative mood means it's a fact. A fact is a thing that is done. How else could it be a fact if it's not already done?
Number.
If I tell you, and I do it, if I tell you I just come back from the store and spent $20. And I did it. It's a fact. And it's also what? Done. How else could it be a fact if it's not already done? This is an indicative future. A future fact. How in God's name can you have a future fact? It's not done in the seen manifestation. It's done in God's decree. Actualization. That is why I laboriously went through and explained our subject matter. Actualization by God's decree. Salvation through actualization by God's decree. And told you what eternity meant, what actualization meant, bringing real or bringing into being. A future fact. The man that does or is caused to do those things, he will live by them. A future fact. How can something be done in the future? Because God spoke it. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved according to God's word, and he's not speaking it every day. He spoke it in eternity. That's why it's done. In the dinosaur ages, if there was any, it was done. If there was a big bang, I don't want to get in an argument about a big bang. If there was a bang that started the universe, it was done. It was always done. What did God say? Not I will, not I was, but I am. Absolute existence. God's decree in eternity. All right. Verse 6.
But the faith, righteousness.
But the out from faithfulness, righteousness. We're talking about faithfulness now.
Uh-huh.
The faith.
Says this.
Not.
Don't say.
Say in the heart of thee.
Don't say in the heart of thee.
Who will ascend into heaven?
Who will ascend into the heavens?
This is Christ.
This is Christ.
To bring down.
To bring down. Uh-huh.
Or who will descend into the abysses?
Or who will descend into the abyss or the deep?
This is Christ from the dead to bring up.
This is Christ from the dead to bring up. You don't say that. You don't have to say that. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to ascend up there or send nobody. You don't have to go down and bring him up. It's done. He is risen. And we were in him, not were are. Were and are in him eternally. You don't have to do that. What does it say? Say not in your heart or in with your mouth. Don't say it. It's done. Christ, who haven't been brought down, is already finished. All right, Ella?
But what says it?
But what says it? But what says, not just it. This is the third person singular. Remember I told you about third person singular? This is Paul corroborating from the Old Testament scriptures in Deuteronomy 30 and 14. Not what says it, but well, it could be his word. God's word is him. But better, what says He, because this is an indicative present, and it's the third person singular, meaning God. What Paul is getting ready to do, he's getting ready to corroborate. He's going to go into Deuteronomy and take some things that God had by the mouth of Moses to speak to Israel, and he's going to apply the same principle unto us. If anything in the Old Testament corroborates, you know what a corroborating witness is. It's a witness that the attorney brings in to give their testimony to corroborate or confirm and strengthen the main testimony. It is not the main testimony. It is corroborating,
yes,
confirming and strengthening testimony,
yes,
to the main testimony. Now I got to go here. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30. I'm going to read a little of it. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Paul is fixing to corroborate, but he's going to bring it in to corroborate what he is saying. Ella, let me know when you get there. I want you to start at verse 2, Ella. Chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. All right, start at verse 1, Ella.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1.
All right.
And it shall come to pass.
It'll come to pass.
When all these things are come upon thee.
Yeah.
The blessing and the curse.
The blessing and the cursing, which God cataloged in the earlier chapters of Deuteronomy before this. Right.
Which I have set before thee.
Which I set before thee.
And thou shalt call them to mind.
Yes.
Among all the nations.
Uh-huh.
Whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee.
Who did that? Who drove them there? The Lord thy God. But who's talking? Moses. All right. Verse 2, Ella.
And shall return unto the Lord thy God.
Uh-huh.
And shall obey his voice according to all that I command.
Uh-huh.
Thee this day. Thou and thy children,
mm-hmm,
with all thy heart, and with all thy soul.
Now, Ella, drop down to verse 8.
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And do all his commandments.
And do all his commandments.
Uh-huh. Which I command thee this day.
Which I command thee this day. That's why the curses came on. They didn't do what God commanded. Aren't you glad you're not under the law? All right. Go to verse 9, Elder.
And the Lord thy God,
uh-huh,
will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand.
Yes.
In the fruit of thy body.
Yes.
And in the fruit of thy cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fruit of thy land.
Yes.
For good.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy father.
Keep going, Elder.
If thou shalt
hold it. Read that first word again on verse 10. What's the first word?
If thou shalt.
If. Conditional. I'm going to rejoice over you like I did your daddy's. If. Conditional. This is the law. The dispensation or the rule of the law. It's a good message. It's the gospel. Good news. But it's under the dispensation or administration or the house rule of the law. It is a conditional covenant, agreement, contract, testament. All mean the same thing. It's conditional. It is not grace. Grace means no merit. Grace means a benefit. Grace means a benevolent. Law means you do it or... Dead dumb. Read on, Elder. If thou shalt hearken.
Mm-hmm. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God,
uh-huh,
to keep his commandments,
uh-huh,
and his statutes,
uh-huh,
which are written in this book of the law.
Of the law. Don't bring the conditions and the covenant and the teaching of the law over into God's free grace. In all of Paul's epistles except in Hebrews, they start in the first chapter with grace, goodwill, benevolence, no merit, not by the doing. Grace and peace. From who? God our Father. What do you mean, God? My dad ain't Horace. That's according to this. My dad is Horace. But God is your eternal Father according to your eternal spirit.
Yes,
and irregardless to this cutting up every day.
Oh, glory.
God is your Father according to your eternal spirit. And he loves you. And according to the scripture, you have been accepted. Aorist tense. In the beloved. No detriment. No detriment. Our body's going back to the dust. They are cursed. They're gone. They're out of here. But we live by the eternal principle of the Spirit.
Oh, glory. Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Finish reading that, 11 through
14.
Go on down to 14. My time is short.
14.
Read 14 of Deuteronomy 30.
But the word is very near unto thee.
I'm sorry. We got to go back to 11 for to get the whole corroborating word of what Moses wrote. Go ahead, verse 11 through 14, Ella.
For this commandment which I command thee this day,
mm-hmm.
it is not hidden from thee,
mm-hmm.
neither is it far off.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12. It is not in heaven.
Ain't up there.
That thou shouldest say,
mm-hmm.
who shall go up?
Mm-hmm.
For us to heaven,
mm-hmm.
and bring it unto us,
mm-hmm.
that we may hear it and do it.
And we got to do it because God commanded it. It's a doing gospel. It's a doing covenant. It's a doing dispensation law. Got to do it. Read, Ella.
Neither is it beyond the sea.
Ain't out there.
That thou shouldest say, who shall go over
mm-hmm.
the sea for us
mm-hmm.
and bring it unto us?
Yes.
That we may hear it
mm-hmm.
and do it.
Yeah, Moses is speaking it to them from God. It's being spoken. You ain't got to go nowhere here. I'm telling you. I'm giving it to you straight from God. Finish up that Ella, verse 14.
But the word is very nigh to thee.
That's the corroboration.
And in thy heart.
The word is nigh thee.
In
thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. A doing gospel, a doing covenant, and a doing dispensation or administration. But that's a corroboration that Paul is using over in grace. Now, back to the Romans 10 and 8. Again, Ella.
Romans chapter 10. And verse 8.
All right, he didn't corroborate. He had brought in a corroboration statement to strengthen what he is saying to brethren, like-minded believers, in the grace dispensation.
But what
says it? But what says it? God's word. What says he? God's word, third person singular. What?
The word is nigh thee.
Near you, the word is.
Even in thy mouth.
God's word. Third person singular again. Near you, the word is. Is like am. I am. Though it is. Eternity is not coming. It's not gone. It's not split in two by time. Eternity is. Time is not in eternity. Eternity is not sequential. This, then, that, not. It is. The word is. In what?
In the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth.
In the mouth of you.
In the heart
that is. That second person singular.
The
those
faith which we preach.
Those whom Paul is speaking to, they are the second person singular. The one he was praying that they would be saved was the second person plural. He is speaking to the body of Christ, one body, second person singular. This is to all members of the body of Christ. in the heart of you. This, not that. This is God's word. Third person singular with the verb is. This, what Paul is speaking, the main testimony that he addressed up in verse 1 of the 10th chapter, brethren of me. This, not that, in the law that I corroborated. Not them. This is the word of the faithfulness which we proclaim. We're not proclaiming what Moses proclaimed to them. If you don't, Moses said, under the law, Paul is proclaiming the word of grace, that which has already been given unto them. We are not faithful. Paul is not puffing up, lifting up, highlighting, putting the spotlight on our faithfulness. We have none. All of us, on our best day, have not been faithful, all of it. On our best day, we have not pleased God fully. But there's one who did please him fully. And they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples, and mainly Pete. You can expect Pete to say something, even if it's wrong or amiss. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, this, speaking of Christ, is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Moses all right. Elias is all right. But this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Because he was faithful.
Yeah.
So what says it, the word, near you the word is. God's word is in the mouth of you and in the heart of you. This is the word of faithfulness which we preach or proclaim. Let me show you something to show you that we are not faithful. Elder, go to Romans chapter 3 real quick. You all turn with me to Romans chapter 3. If you think, after all that's been exposed and proclaimed, if you still think that you are the faithful one and is spotlighting you, let's see what the word says in the same epistle. Now, I'm corroborating again, but I'm corroborating from the same dispensation, the same contract, and even the same epistle. The gospel of the grace of God, the epistle to the Romans. Do you have Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, Elder?
Romans chapter 3. Beginning with the ninth verse.
What then?
Are we better than they?
Paul corroborating again, pointing to and speaking regarding Israel, the Jews. What then? Speaking to the Gentiles, letter to the Romans. Gentiles, basically. Are we better than they? What?
No.
No.
In no wise.
No way.
For we have before both Jews and Gentiles,
all of us,
that they are all under sin.
We are all under sin.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
None. None of us are righteous. It is not our faithfulness. Christ is the faithfulness or the righteousness of God and unto faithfulness.
Oh.
Read a little bit more of that, Ella, in case we still didn't got it. I know it's yet.
There is none that understandeth.
None of us really understand.
There is none that seeketh after God.
Oh! But I stayed up all night praying until I got it. It was me. I did it. What's, read that verse again.
There is none that understands.
None understand.
There is none that seeketh after God.
You have to be caused, determined, decreed to seek after God. So in the final analysis, in God's eternal decree, in the final analysis, not what you do in the created temporary entity of time, is what God has decreed already. Otherwise it wouldn't manifest unto you. Alright, verse 9.
Verse 9.
I gotta get 9 in here. Y'all hold your maters.
What then?
Don't throw them. What? Verse 9. What
I'll,
then?
I'll be better than they.
No, no. Let's go back to Romans 10, Elder. Romans 10 and verse 9. Back to our context and text. It is the word of the faithfulness, his faithfulness, Christ's faithfulness, Paul said, which we proclaim. Not Moses proclaimed it. We proclaiming Christ's faithfulness. Not us. We just witnessed that in Romans chapter 3. Verse 9, Ella.
That
or better because if. Now, I'm going to show you why if is here. If thou confess. What you have here is a subjunctive aorist. It's a past completed probability. How are you going to have a completed probability? The probability is whether it manifests in time or not regarding you. That's the probability. It's already finished, decreed, actualized in eternity according to the aorist tense. But the probability is it's showing up regarding you in time, in the created, temporary, changing entity of time. All right, that if thou might confess, only way you're going to confess is the aorist tense part of it. God's decree is done. When you do it,
amen.
It's not salvation. It's manifestation. It's not the beginning of your salvation. It's in the aorist tense. That if thou might confess, having confessed, if God had not decreed it, you won't confess.
Oh.
Aorist tense. Probability is showing up in time regarding you or me. With what? With the mouth of you.
Mouth.
With the mouth.
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus.
And shall believe in thy heart.
Ah, hold it right there, Ella. Again, subjunctive errors. The believing is not out of us. It is decreed of God who believe when they believe. It's a subjunctive errors. The error sense is there. Again, error sense is a past completed action. It was done in God's decree. So your believing is not you doing it. You have been caused to believe it. We're not the smartest folk in the world that we believe it and she don't. God has decreed that we believe it in the aorist tense. In the heart of you. What?
Thou shalt believe in thy
heart. Thy heart.
That God
has
raised him from the dead.
That God have raised him from the dead. Third person singular. Indicative. It's a fact. A fact is a thing that's done. As tense.
Thou shalt be saved.
A past completed fact. God raised him from the dead. It was done in eternity. Before time. Before Adam was in the garden. Before any bang. Before any dinosaur. Before any comets and everything. It was already done. That God raised him out from the dead, thou wilt be saved. Again, you have an indicative future. It's a fact. A fact is a thing done. It's a thing that's done even though it's future. Future when it manifests. The doneness or the doing of it in eternity by God's decree. Not when it show up in time. And then, to add ecstasy to glory, it's in the passive voice. You're being saved. Get this. It's not you. It's Him. It's in the passive voice. You're like this. He's doing the doing. The passive voice. It is not us, saints. It is all God. All we have to do is exegete a little bit, not to be nothing, but to find out the literal interpretation, saying what the Scripture by the Holy Spirit is actually saying and conveying to the church, the body of Christ.
Oh.
Not for salvation, but for understanding. And understanding, the benefits will be joy, unspeakable. Saints of God, you ain't got to do nothing. I'm finishing up right now. You ain't got to come down here and shake my hand. I'm going to shake your hand. But you ain't got to come down and shake my hand to get in nowhere. If you are saved, and I'm not saying if in a doubting manner, if you are saved, you are saved in eternity. It manifests. It shows up. You become aware of it in time. Again, I in the mid-70s, I became aware of my salvation. Biggest drunk in town. I became aware of my salvation in the 70s, but I found out lately through learning exegesis that I was saved in eternity. It's all of God. It is Christ. Don't be afraid. God give this information for us to take it easy. For us to take it easy regarding our job, regarding school, regarding our neighbors, regarding those in the home with us, regarding those in your neighborhood, regarding those that are trying to get you the money out your pocket. Take it easy, saints. If you can't hardly take it, you got to have something in your house it's easy. Take it easy. Relax. We are eternally saved. We were saved in the eternal, unchanging environment of eternity. No changes there. All that I said earlier was for a reason. No changes. Eternal benefit. It is. It never is not, because there's no change with God and in eternity where your salvation was actualized, that is brought into existence. God bless you.
Amen. Thank God.